Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Vav. We're going to begin 7 lines on the top, Vav Amud Aleph, with the words Omar Mar. Now, in yesterday's shir, at the end of the shir, we had discussed that if a person hears only part of the get being written Lishma, even Kan Kulmosa, or Kan Megilta, that is acceptable. And we brought down a brice in support of that, and I just want to point out the top Tosu says this is different, however, even though you didn't see the get being written Lishma, but if you're a person who sees, this is acceptable just to have heard it, but Tosus points out, lo domi l'sumo depasul lo get, as we'll learn in the second parak. So the idea here that you just are aware that the get is being written l'shma, so that's adequate if you're able to see. But if a person can see a sumo, so that wouldn't be acceptable. And now we continue in this discussion with the words omamar. Again, 7 lines on the top, vav amud aleph. Omamar, afilu nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo, even if the person is going in and out. We'll see in a moment which person we're referring to. Nevertheless, the get is kosher, even though the shaliach did not see the entire get being written lishma. There was an opinion yesterday that said you had to see every os being written, but that's not the way that we paskin, and that's what we had pointed out, that even if you're going in and out, the get is still kosher. So the Gemara asks, who is going in and out? Is it talking about the shaliach, or is it talking about the sofer? Man, ilema shaliach, if you're telling me that we're referring to the shaliach going in and out, that would seem to be unnecessary. Hashta huba bayis of sofer ba'aliyah, we had said in yesterday's shir that if you're in the house on the ground floor and the sofer is up on the second floor, the lo chazile, and you didn't see him at all, nevertheless, arm is kosher, it's perfectly good. You just heard the kan kulmaso, kan megilta, you just heard the scratching of the quill on the parchment, that's considered good. So nichnas v'yotzi mibayis, so of course, even if the shaliach is going in and out of the house, that should certainly be good. So therefore, when it says over here that afilu nichnas v'yotzi kol yom kulo kosher, it must be referring to Ella's sofer. It's talking about the sofer himself. Even if he went in and out of the house, the get is still considered lishma. Gemara says, pshita, da, that's obvious. Why in the world would you think that if the sofer goes out of the house, that should ruin it? Mishum de nichnas v'yotzi nifsaline? How could it possibly be that the sofer leaves the house? That would ruin the get. What's the havamina? Someone says, no, there's a good havamina. Lo, tzricha, you need to tell us this when we said, afilu nichlas v'yotze, talking about the sofer, nevertheless, it's still kosher, because the nafak l'shuka, he went out to the marketplace, and then he returned v'yosa. Now, I might say, mahu detema, that in fact, inish achrino ashkeche, that another man came upon the sofer and said to him, hey, listen, I need a get for my wife. And the Amalei and the sofer said to this other person, hey, great, I happen to be in the midst of writing one. You're in a rush to go divorce your wife. I'll give you that one that I've already started to write. And it happens to be the same name as that person's wife. So therefore, it's a perfectly valid get looking from the names in it, but it wasn't written Lishma. So I might have thought we have to be concerned about that. The sofer went out to the marketplace. Maybe he met somebody else, Inish Achrina Ashkechei, and therefore it's not really being written Lishma. So then, Kamash Malan, no, we don't have to be concerned about that. It, Mighty Word continues and says, Bavel, we've been talking about the Medina Sayan, which means Chutz Loris, but what about Bavel? Bavel is an exception to the rule of Medina Sayan. Going from the Medina Sayan to Eretz Yisrael, we said, you have to say Bifani Nechtam, Bifani Nechtam. However, from Bavel, Rav tells us, Rav Omar, ki Eretz Yisrael legitin, that Bavel has the same status as Eretz Yisrael in regards to Gittin. Ushmul disagrees. Ushmul Omar, ki Chutz Loretz. No, Shmuel says it has the status of Chutz Loretz, Bendina Sayan, in regards to Gittin. Now, what exactly are Rav and Shmuel talking about when we say that Rav says that Bavel has the status of Eretz Yisrael in regards to Gittin, and Shmuel says it has the status of Chutz Loretz in regards to Gittin? So let us suggest that this is what they're arguing about. Lema b'hakam iflegi, the Mar Sover, the Rav holds, fish ein b'kiyin lishma, that in Chutz Loretz, Medina Sayam, in general, like Rabba had said, they're not familiar with the dinim, ein b'kiyin lishma, they're not familiar with the dinim lishma. However, Bavel, where there were major Talmudic academies, was major Talmidei Chachamim, v'hani gemira, and therefore the people of Bavel are like Eretz Yisrael, the status of being b'kiyin lishma. And therefore, Rav holds that Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael, that you don't have to say b'fanei nechta, because they are b'ki and lishma. On the other hand, Shmuel holds Umar Savar, l'fish ein edim mitzuyin l'kaimu. He holds like Rava, that in fact, there are caravans that don't come on a regular basis, and people who bring a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael may not have edim that will be able to be authenticating the get. And if the Baal is ma'arer, you're going to be stuck. And therefore, you have to say b'fanei nechta, to obviate the need to have edim mitzuyin lekaimo. Oh, so let us say that's what they're arguing about. And b'hani nami lo shlichei, and for Bavel Teretz Yisrael also not shlichei. And that's why Shmuel says like Rabbah that you have to say b'fanei nechtam. So Rabbi says, that can't be. Because if your reasoning is that there aren't caravans coming and you're not going to have Eidim Mitzuyev, so again, even though Rabbah holds, we've said this now multiple times, even though he holds that the reason is Lefisha Ein Bikil Lishma, he also holds like Rabbah that you have to be concerned Lefisha Ein Eidim Mitzuyev Lekaimu. He holds both. And therefore, you can't say that Rav holds that the din is that it's Bikin Lishma and that alone, because he also holds like Rabbah. You need Eidim Mitzuyin Lekaimu, and you won't have that from Bava. So how can you tell us that? Vitizbra, Harabah, Isle L'Rava. So that can't be the reason. So you're right, the Gemara says, Elo, in fact, the Kuliyama Bo'inin Lekaimu. Everybody holds, Rav and Shmuel, that you need Eidim to be Mekayim, the Shtar, and that's why you would have to say, B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Neftam. However, Rav Sovar, Kivon D'Iko Misifta, Mishkach Shlichei. Rav says, there are a lot of Bote Medrash, there are a lot of yeshivas in Babel. And therefore, they come to Babel from all over the place, and they come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael all the time. The people going back and forth. And therefore, it is very likely that they'll recognize the signatories. And therefore, you don't need to say, b'fonei nechtam, because there are yeshivas. As Rashi says, yeshivas kvuas. Achas b'sura, v'achas b'nardai. You had Rav's yeshiva in Surah, and you had Shmuel's yeshiva in Nardai. V'hochen tamidim mizu lezu, mishar ayaros lehen lubo Torah. So they're going back and forth within Babel. So we're working over here with the assumption that the concern about having Eidim Mitzuyim is from one area of Babel to the other area of Babel. But since the tamidim are going back and forth from one yeshiva to the other, therefore there is no concern. That's Rav's opinion. They'll recognize the signatures. They'll be Eidim Mitzuyim and Lekaimo in all different parts of Babel. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, they're too busy learning. How are they going to know what signatures look like? They're going to be very much involved in learning. As Rashi says, where do you see somebody sign thing on documents, on business? They're not doing business. And therefore, all of these Tamidim, while they may recognize each other by person, but they're not going to recognize each other's signatures, and they'll never be able to attest. And therefore, you better say, even from one part of Babel to the other part of Babel. And we have a statement that supports this. It, my nami, Rav Abba, Rav Huna. Rav Abba said in Rav Huna, Asinu atzmenu bevavel, ki eretz Yisrael legitin, miki osa Rav lebavel. So Rav Abba said in the name of Rav Huna. Rav Huna was one of the main Talmidim of Rav, and the simple understanding of this is like Rashi, that he said, once Rav came to Babel and opened up the major academy in Surah, so therefore now everybody was knowledgeable about being Bekiy and Lishma, and therefore in Babel, from this point and on, originally Babel was like Medina Sayyam. Babel didn't have the status of being Tamidei Chachamim. But now that Rav is here, so Asinu Asinu Bavavel carried Sol Legitin. So now we have the same dinim as they do in Eretz Yisrael in terms of that you don't have to say Bifonei Nechta, because they'll be number one Bikin Lishma, and since there are multiple yeshivas, so the Tamidim will recognize each other's signature, and therefore you don't have to worry about Ein Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. That's a simple understanding according to Rashi. As he tells us, the Dibra Maskel Michi Osa Rab Lubavel, the Kabai Yeshiva Basura, he set up his yeshiva in Surah, with Shmuel, who was there earlier than Rab, Havai Benardoi. However, Avo Meikara, lo, but before Rab came, there wasn't such a plethora of yeshivas, such a plethora of learning in Babel. V'yafal gav digmira de mishigola yechonyo lebavel, v'cheresh v'amizgarimo lo poskator mihem, even though 11 years before the destruction Nebuchadnezzar the Beis HaMikdash, the Cheirish and Maskir, the Sanhedrin, and the great Tamid Chachamim were sent into Golos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a tremendous favor. So when the rest of Klai Yisrael went to Golos 11 years later, by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, everything was set up. The whole infrastructure for learning was set up. So even though there was something over there, nevertheless, over time, things had gotten to a point that it wasn't, they were baki in all the yediyos of Gittin, so they were not Bekiy and Lishma, but then when Rav came, they were Bekiy and Lishma. That's the simple understanding over here. Tosfos has a slightly different understanding, Mechiyosa Rav Lebavel, Ayin Shom. He does point out one interesting potential dikduk in the words. He says, at the end of that Tosfos, he says, Yesh Beforshim, Mechiyosa Rav doesn't mean Rav himself, Lo Rav Mamish, it doesn't mean the great Amora / Tana Rav, it means Elekloma Rabbonim Ubali Torah, when they came. That's when the population in Babel was now considered to be Baki Lishma, and since they were going from one yeshiva to the other yeshiva, so they were Mitzuyim Lekaima. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Masiv Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah said, Rav Yehuda Omer, Merekim Lemizrach, Merekim Kemizrach. So we went ahead in the Mishnah that one of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, that you consider these places within Eretz Yisrael, every place else is beyond Eretz Yisrael, consider Medina Sayyam. So we had the opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that Rechem was the easternmost place, and everything to the east of Rechem was considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, including Rechem. Rechem was also considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, we had the southern border was from Ashkelon, the Ashkelon Kedarim, the Ashkelon Kedarim. So Ashkelon was the first point outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ashkelon was considered outside of Eretz Yisrael as well, and everything southern to it was considered certainly outside of Eretz Yisrael. On the western side, we said earlier in Rashi, you didn't have to say anything because that was the Yam, the Mediterranean Sea, the Yam HaGadol. And then the Akko Litzofon. On the northern side, we had Akko, which was also outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Akko Kitzofon. And Akko had the same status as all the places north to it, which were outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Baha Bavel Litzfona, the Eretz Yisrael Kaima. Now we know that Bavel is considered north of Eretz Yisrael. It's actually northeast of Eretz Yisrael, but it's always referred to as north based upon the Pasuk Dirsiv, by Yom Hashem Eli. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyo, this is a Pasuk in Yirmiyo, and it says, Shem said to Yirmiyahu that the Nebuch Bavel is going to come and destroy everything. Mitzafon tipasach haro, from the north, meaning from Bavel, so that's where everything is going to unfortunately start to unravel, and that's where the ra, the evil, will start. And furthermore, we learned in our Mishnah Tanan, Reb Meir Omer, Akko ki Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Reb Meir disagreed with Reb Yehuda. He said, no, Akko is considered like Eretz Yisrael in regards to Gittin. Now, even Reb Meir said only Akko. Lafilu Reb Meir lo kama ela ba'akko the Mikrivah, because it was very close. So Rav Meir held that that's considered the same laws as Eretz Yisrael in regards to Gittin. But certainly everything north of Akko, including Bavel, would not. Abu Bavel, the Mirachaka, certainly low. So therefore, here's Rav Yirmiyah's question to Rav, how can you tell us that Bavel, which is far north of Akko, is considered like Eretz Yisrael? So Mor gives the obvious answer, and he himself gave that. Who most in love? Whom the Farag love? Rav Yirmiyah was the one that asked this question, and he's the one that gives the answer. He says, Levar mi Bavel. Everything that we're talking about, everything north from there, except for Bavel, because of the reasons that we already mentioned. Now, the Gemara tells us, Ad Heichan hi Bavel. Now, we need to know the borders of Bavel for this din of Gittin. So, Amar Rapapa tells us that the same achlokas that we have in regards to Yuchsin, Rashi explains this is Gemara in Kedushin, in Perek Asari Yuchsin, where it tells us, the Kaimalon kol arotzos itza le'eretz Yisrael. All the other nations of the world are considered a poor lineage compared to Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael lineage is more pure. But even Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael, Bavel, is considered a far inferior lineage than Bavel, which was a very pure lineage. And there, in regards to where do you define Bavel, in regards to saying it's a pure lineage, so they argue there what the borders of Bavel are. So Rapapa tells us, Kimachlokis Leyuchsin, that machlokis, what are the borders of Bavel, in regards to saying that it's a pure lineage in those places, and that you don't have to worry about psulim in the lineage, Kach Machlokis Legitin. So the same rules apply to Gittin as well. Rapapa tells us, the same borders that we're going to use for Yuchsin are the borders that are used for this halacha of Gittin. So that's what Rav Papa says. Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef Amar, no, machlokis leyuchsin. That machlokis that we have in the Gemara and Kedushin on Daf Ayin Aleph is purely for yuchsin. Avol Gittin, in regards to Gittin, he extends it. He says, divrei akol, everybody holds, there is no machlokis. Ad arba tinyona de gishwa. What is arba tinyona de gishwa? So Rashi tells us, arba is really arava. He spells it with an ayin. The Gemara spells it with an aleph. So he said, this is a certain type of willow, and it's an agam. Rashi also tells us it's a swamp. Tinyana means the second one, shniya. And the gishra is, it's near a certain bridge. So it's the second swamp that's near this certain bridge. Shniya, arava shniya, hasmucha legesher. And that was a well-known place. And up till there, that is where, in regards to the dinim of Gittin, that is where we call it Bavel. Beyond that, it's not considered Bavel. It's like the rest of Medina Sayyam, and the dinims that are specific and special to Bavel, like Eretz Yisrael, don't apply beyond that. Gemara continues and says, Rav Chista Matzrich, Rav Chista made a person who was coming, Me'ak Tispon, which Tosafot says was right outside of Bavel, Lav Mi Bavel, because the Imi Bavel, Ak Tisso Nami Gemiris, because then they would be considered knowledgeable. And he says that this other city called Ardashir, Bay Adashir, was in Bavel. So Rav Chista required, Rav Chista Matzrich, if a person comes from this place called Me'ak Tisfon, which was right outside of Bavel, and he comes into Bavel, the Bay Ardashir, so he required him to say, Before Nechta, because he was coming from Medina Sayyam, outside Bavel, into Bavel. There'd be no different than coming from the Medina Sayyam into Eretz Yisrael. However, only they Adushir from the people from Babel, they Adushir that were going to this place right outside Babel, locked his phone, lo matzuch, he didn't require them to say, b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta. Now, let us say, Lema Kisavar, let us hold that Rav Chisda is of the opinion, Lefisha ain b'kiyin lishma, the people living in this city called Aktisvon, which is in outside of Babel, which is in the Medina Sayam, are not b'kiyin lishma, and that's why they have to say it. V'hani gemira, and the people in Be'ar Dishir live in Babel, and they are gemira, they are knowledgeable about b'kiyin lishma, and that's why only in one direction and not the other direction. And Tosfos says we don't make a gzeira over here. The Tosfos from Be'ar Dishir says, what about making gzeira one to the other? So he says that we don't have to do. Bottom line is, Rav Chisda says that only going from Aktisfon to Be'ar Dishir do you need to say b'fani nechta, b'fani nechtam, but not the other way around. More questions this and says, really, the Tisbor, do you think it's because in the place in Babel they're knowledgeable, in the place outside Babel they're not knowledgeable? Well, Rabba is slay the Rabba. Even if that's true, what about the other point that we keep on making, that even if you say that knowledgeable about B'kiyin Lishma is not the concern, what about the fact that people didn't travel from one of those places to the other, and you're not going to have Ein Edim Mitzurim L'Kaima? So Gemara says, you're right. Elo L'Kulei Amo B'inu L'Kaima. In fact, everybody agrees that you'd have to go and have the person say b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta, so you don't have the problem of needing edim mitzurin l'kaimo. So why over here did the people from Be'ar Dishir, when they went to Aktisfon, not have to say it? V'hani kivin d'ozli l'shuka l'hosam, because the way the business world worked in those days was the people in Be'ar Dishir, they went to Aktisfon and they bought a lot of property and produce and all sorts of items there, didn't pay for it with cash, but they left their promissory notes over there. So the people in Aktisfon were very, very familiar with the Be'ar Dishir names, and therefore there was no concern that you would be able to find people that could be Mekayim their documents, because their signatures were well known. So therefore, the people from Be'ar Dishir left documents in Aktisfon, and the Aktisfon people were very knowledgeable about what the signatures looked like, and you'll always have Eidim Mitzurim L'Kaimo, and therefore we don't have to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. Hanach Yadeh B'chasimos Yodo Dehani. The people in Aktisfon knew the signatures of the people from Be'ar Dishir. Knew, why didn't it work the other way around? V'hani B'dehanach Lo Yodeh. The people of Be'ar Dishir, however, never really saw the signatures from the Aktisfon people because they didn't come there for business. My timer, because B'shukayu Tride. Because when the people from Be'ar Dishir went to Aktisfon, they were there doing business. They didn't get promissory notes back in return, and they weren't familiar with their signatures. So this is just a practical din that Rav Chisda is telling us. Since we have to be concerned over here for the fact that you're not going to have Edim Mitzurim L'Kaimo, so in the city of Aktisfon, they were familiar, and therefore that's not a concern. In the city of Be'ar Dishir, they wouldn't be familiar, and therefore it was a concern. Mark continues and tells us, Rabba Baravua Matzruch me arsa li arsa. Rabba Baravua would require the Shaliach to say, b'fani nechta, b'fani nechtam, even if they went from arsa to arsa. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, in Dira Masa me arsa li arsa, Mishuras habatim shebetzad rishus harabim lishur shechen egdo. When you're on the eastern side of the rishus harabim and you're traveling to the western side of the rishus harabim, crossing the street, crossing the highway in the middle, so that was considered that it wouldn't be Edim Mitzurim L'Kaimo, and therefore you have to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta, such a short distance. Rav Sheshes was even Matzuch Mishchuna L'Shchuna, from one neighbor to another neighbor. And Rashi tells us, in Tiba Matzuch Mishchuna L'Shchuna, Stam Shchuna, Shlosh Abatim, more in Avodah Zara. Even a very small little neighbor, three houses. They required, if you're going from one Shchuna to another Shchuna, to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. Again, this is to prevent having concerns about authenticating the get. And Rava Matzuch bi osa shchuna. He said, even in that same shchuna, you always have to say b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta. Mar says, wait a second. V'ha rabu d'yama l'fish ein edim mitzurim l'kaimo. And in the same shchuna, certainly you're going to have edim mitzurim l'kaimo. So why is he saying you have to say b'fani nechta in the same shchuna? So Mar says, shayne b'nei mechuza d'naide. Rabu was talking about his hometown, as you can see in the Masoras Hashas. He says, that Mechuza Iro Shel Rava. This was his town, and he knew that these people were naidi, as Rashi tells us. They weren't sitting around in the shchuna, getting to know all their neighbors in the shchuna to know their signatures. They were off doing business, and therefore, They wouldn't know the signatures of the people in this shluna. So Rava knew. He was the Rav in that town, and he knew. This must have come up many times that people didn't have an easy way to authenticate documents. People didn't know each other's signatures. So he said, you better say, before nechtam, when you're writing again, because it will be very difficult. Ein edim mitzuyim l'kaimo. And when you say, before nechtam, that obviates that problem. Mark continues and tells us, Rav Chanin tells us the following story. One time, Rav Kahana, Aisi Gita, the lo yadana imisur l'nadoi, iminadoi l'sura. He's telling us a story that Rav Kahana brought a get. He doesn't know whether it was going from surah to nadoi or from nadoi to surah. In any event, Rav Kahana came with this get, also coming to Rav, and he asked Rav, Amale, tzrichtin l'meimar b'fonei nechtam, olo tzrichtna. Do I have to go from nadoi to surah or from surah to nadoi? He didn't remember what the story actually was, but that was the question. And he asked Rav, Rav Kahana asked Rav, do I have to say before nechtam? And Amar Lei, Rav responded and told him, lo tzrich. So you don't have to go and say that. We turn to Rav Amit Beis. But, he says, the avadit, if you did go and say it, gesundheit, ahanis, it works. Now, the chiddush over here, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the chiddush over here is that you might have thought that only when you're required to say before nechtam, in that situation, then it can work to obviate the need to have Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. But if you weren't obligated to say before nechtam, maybe it wouldn't work. So the chiddush over here that Rav told him was, even though you weren't obligated to say before nechtam, if you did say so, it would go and prevent, as the top Rashi tells us, the Ose Baal Uma'arer Mivsal. If the Baal came and be Ma'arer, it would make a mess, it would ruin it. But if you said before nechtam, then it won't be able to ruin by the Baal being Ma'arer. Now, what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara asks, what does it mean? My Iavadit Ahanis, that it works. So the Ose Baal Ma'arer Lo Mashkichem Be. As I just pointed out, Rav was being Machadish over here that if you do say this nusach, even though you weren't required to, it still will work. It's not only when it's required to be said that it works, but even if you weren't required to say it, but you said it, it will prevent the Baal from being ma'ara. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Kiditanya, based upon the following brisa. There was a ma'isa shoya. Ma'isa b'yodamecha, there once was a person, shehevi get lefnei Rabbi Yishmol, who brought a get in front of Rabbi Yishmol, and Amarlo, this person who's the shliach, asked Rabbi Yishmol, do I have to say tzarechni lomar b'fonei nechtam or not? Oh, ain't no tzarech. So Amar lo, so Yishmol tells him, b'ni meichanatenu, where are you coming from? Because that's obviously going to determine whether you're required to say b'fonei nechtam. And Amar lo, so the shliach said, Rabbi, called Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi, mikvar sisoi ani. Rashi tells us, Kfar sisoi was the name of a place. Nu, what does Rabbi Yishmol say when he tells him that? So Rabbi Yishmol says back to him, yes, you should say before nechtav. But then he adds, Shaloti Zokekli Aidim. This will obviate the need for this woman to go and authenticate her document. Should her husband come and challenge it, she won't have to go and authenticate it. Because you're saying before nechtav. Now, Li Acher Shiyotza, after this incident occurred, Rabbi Eloi comes in and questions Rabbi Yishmol. Nichnas l'fon of Rabbi Eloi, the great Rabbi Eloi comes in and says to him, Amar lo, he says to Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi, v'alo kfar sisoi muvlas b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. This place, kfar sisoi, has the status of being muvla within the tchum of Eretz Yisrael, and in addition, ukrova l'tzipori yosem yako, and it's even closer to tzipori, more so than Akko. And therefore, we have opinions that say that Akko, we had a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim as to whether, if you're in Akko, that it's considered, part of Akko was considered an Eretz Yisrael, part of it was not. So this place is even closer than Akko. And furthermore, it was Muvla b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. We had opinions that said if it was a city that was Muvla within the Tchum, then you don't have to say before nechtam. So why did you tell him that he definitely had to say before nechtam? Now, the Gemara wants to even make the question stronger. Utnan, it says, we learned it on Mishnah, as I just pointed out, Rav Meir Omer, Akko carries a stroller, Gittin, that he disagreed with the Tanakam and said that Akko is considered as the same dinim as Eretz Yisrael in regards to Gittin, and therefore, Afilu Rabbanan, they only argued on Akko, Lo Pligi Alei, the Rav Meir, Elo Be'Akko, the Merechaka, Abo Kfarsisi, the Mikrov Olo, which is even closer, so they wouldn't have argued with him on Kfarsisi. So, bottom line is, Rabbi Eloi asked Rabbi Yishmol, why did you make this person say before nechtam? So Gemara says, On the law, Rabbi Shimon said back to Rabbi Eli, Shtok bini shtok. He said, you have a good question, but be silent, because hol v'yotza adover beheter yotza. Oh, this is the kiddetanya. Since we said that once you say b'fani nechtam, it obviates the husband being able to be ma'arer, all of a sudden you don't have to authenticate the witnesses, so therefore once it was allowed, when it was required, so it's allowed in this situation also. And therefore, while technically Kfarsisi wouldn't have required it, I suggested that he say it in order to get around any problems in case the husband would be ma'ara. Now, isn't that what Rabbi Shmuel said? Why did Rabbi Eli ask him on that? Ha'iunami shaloti zokik le'edim kamale. The end of the conversation between the shaliach and Rabbi Shmuel was that Rabbi Shmuel told him, yes, sorechatulomar b'fani nechtam shaloti zokik le'edim. So he specifically told him why you have to say it. So why did Rabbi Eli ask that? So Gemara says, because lo saimu kame. When they told over Rabbi Eloy, he wasn't in the room at the time. They had just told him, knew what was Rabbi Shmuel talking about. And people told Rabbi Eloy that Rabbi Shmuel said, from Kfarsisi, you have to go and say, b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. That's what Rabbi Eloy asked him, how come? And that's why Rabbi Shmuel now tells him, because it's a good idea, but not because it was obligated, because it was from Kfarsisi. Mark continues and tells us a fascinating story. Shalach le Rav Aviyotu le Rav Chista. Rav Yosef sent to Rav Chista the following shaila. Others have the gears over here. That it was Sholach Le Rav Yosef, the Rav Yehuda. That's the Ein Yaakov's gear. So in any event, Rav Yosef sent the following Shaila. Gitin Haboy Misham Lekan. If a get comes from Bavel, Misham Lekan, Rashi tells us, meaning from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ein Tzarech Lomar, you do not have to say, the Shliach doesn't have to say, B'fon Nechtav, B'fon Nechtav. More as why? Leimo, let us say, the Rav Yosef holds like Rabba, and that when they're not Bekiyin Lishma, you have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. However, Vahani Gemira, in Babel, the people are knowledgeable, they're Bekiyin Lishma, and therefore that's why he said you don't have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. The Gemara says, really? Again, the same question we've had multiple times. V'tisbra, for Rabba is the Rabba. Rabba, in addition to saying that they have to be Bekiyin Lishma, so even if that's not a concern, he said, also like Rabba, you need to have Eidim Mitzurim Lekaimo, and they won't have the Eidim Mitzurim Lekaimo. So therefore, why did Rav Yosser say to Rav Chista or to Rav Yehuda that, in fact, Ein Tzarech Lomar B'fonei Nechtam B'fonei Nechtam if you're coming from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? That's the question. So Gemara says, you're 100% right. Elo D'kuli Amo B'inu L'kaimo. Yes, that concern of Rav is agreed to by everybody. However, V'kivan D'ikor Rabim D'sol Kivin Nachse Mishkach Shlichei. No. He holds that there are plenty of people coming from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there is no concern that there won't be witnesses. And that's why they're Bekiyin Lishma, and there's no concern about witnesses, and therefore Rav Yosef Paskin going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to say B'fani Nechta, B'fani Nechta. That was the din that Rav Yosef sent to either Rav Chista or Rav Yehuda. Now, Gemara questions and says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Man Leimalon de Rav Yosef Bar Samchuhu. He opens up this unbelievable Gemara we're about to have by saying, who says that Rav Yosef is reliable? Can we really believe what Rav Yosef said? Furthermore, for Od, Ha'iu, he himself has shown that he's not reliable because the Shalach Leila Rav Yehuda, and another time he sent to Rav Yehuda, according to the Gersa that this was Rav Yehuda, it makes sense that that would be another time he sent to Rav Yehuda. B'nei Adam Ha'olim Misham Lekan, he said the people that go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, they're fulfilling the following pasuk in a negative way, Hinkimu B'yatzman, they're fulfilling themselves, Vayitnu, now we have the word S, but the word S isn't in the pasuk, so it should be Vayitnu Hayeled Bazona, Vayalda Machru, Vayayin Vayishtu. The pasuk says they made the boy into a Nebuchadzona, and the girls, they're being sold for wine, and Nebuchadnezzar became drunk. Now, we'll say and explain what this pasuk means in a moment, but right now, the Gemara continues, Rav Yosef tells us, V'kosav le below sirtut. He wrote this pasuk without sirtut. Sirtut is when you engrave into the parchment a line in order that the print will be straight. And Rav Yitzchak had said, Yom Rav Yitzchak, Shtayim Kosin, you can write two words without sirtut, without having this engraving in the parchment, but if you're writing three words or more, Shalosh Ein Kosin. And the Brisa says, Vasnisa Tana, Shalosh Kosin, Arba Ein Kosin. The Brisa disagrees with Rav Yitzchak. The Brisa said, if you're writing only three words, you don't have to write with sirtut, but if you have four words or more, then you have to write with sirtut. Now, he didn't write it with sirtut, and therefore Rav Yosef is telling us that's why he's not reliable. By the way, what was the pasuk that he was telling us? So he was telling us that these people that went and left their wives, and they made aliyah, so to say, on their own, and they left their wives in Bavel, so what they were doing is something that isn't proper. As Rashi tells the Dibur Basel Vayitnu, again, Rashi has in parentheses the word ask because it's not there, Vayitnu Hayalev. So, Shayu Mishtayim Eretz Yisrael, they stayed in Eretz Yisrael, but they left their families behind in Bavel. Uminichin Yishosein Agunos. They left their wives, Nebuch, as if they were a woman who was an Aguna. Ubetalim in Piri Ribbit, and they couldn't have fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Ribbit, even though they're technically not Muchuyavos to do so, but they wanted to have children. And therefore these people that left to go to Eretz Yisrael, so it was obviously light in their eyes having children, and that's how he darshed the Pasuk. Tosus adds that they had no food. They would sell them because it was no food. And that's what it means, bizona, bishul mizonas. It doesn't mean for illicit purposes, but it means for mizonas, for food. So this was a terrible thing, but that's not what we're interested in right now. We're interested in that he wrote this without sirtut. And therefore, Rav Yossi says two things over here. Who's telling us that this opinion of Rav Yossi is reliable? And plus, I can show you that a story that he isn't so reliable because he didn't write with sirtut. So he must not be a big Talmud Chacham. Where it says, Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yossi, that's not a good proof. Atu kol de lo yoda ha de Rav Yitzchak. Lav Gaber Rabbahu. If you didn't know this member of Yitzchak, that Shtayim Kosin, Sholoshin Kosin, or the Brisa, they didn't know all the Brises. The Masnisa Tana, Sholosh Kosin, Arba Ein Kosin. If you didn't know that, you're not considered a Gaber Rabbah. You're not considered a great person. Only if you know that, you're considered a great person. And he adds, Bishlama Milso Detaya Bisvara L'chai. If you don't know something that is a Svara and you're making mistakes in Svara, so then I can understand. You can say he's not a great person. Hagamarihi. But this is just a statement that was made, and he didn't know it. Ugamara lo shvila. He never heard that. However, that doesn't mean he's not a great person. And furthermore, I'll show you that he was a great person. And listen to this story. For Ode, Ha Rav Yasser Hu Di Askim Mari Ayadei. We have proof from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Rav Yasser was a great person. Because Dechsev, the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk from Shoftim, Latizne Olov Pilak Sho. This, unfortunately, to the end of Shoftim, Perek Yutes, terrible tragedy known as a famous story, terrible tragedy of the Pilegesh Begiva. This was a man who had a Pilegesh, a wife who was a concubine. She did not have a ksuba. That was one of the definitions of a concubine. There was a full marriage, but without a ksuba. And in any event, there was a problem between the husband and the wife, this concubine, this Pilegesh, and she ran away. Ultimately, he went and brought her back, but ultimately, unfortunately, it was a terrible, terrible incident that happened. She was ultimately killed in a very horrible way. And basically, all the Shvatim were told, you should gang up in Binyamin. This happened in the tribe of Binyamin, and Binyamin didn't do anything about it. So there was a huge civil war that resulted. There were three battles. The first two battles, they asked the Urim and Tumim, should we go to battle? The Urim and Tumim said yes, but unfortunately, Klal Yisrael lost, various reasons why they didn't ask the Urim and Tumim properly. The third time, they asked, are we going to win the battle against Binyamin? And they did. And they did defeat and almost wiped out all of Binyamin, except for 600 men, including Shaul HaMelech, who was a young man at that time. And this was a terrible, terrible tragedy, tremendous loss of life, known as the Maisa of the Pilegesh Begiva. In any event, it says, Batizne Olov Pilak Sho. She had gone away from him. Now, Batizne normally means that she had Zenus. But Tosus points out, based upon our story over here, that she obviously did not have Zenus, because he wouldn't have taken her back if she had had Zenus. And therefore, in this situation, something else occurred, as we'll now say in the Gemara. So based upon this pasuk, Batizne Olov Pilak Sho, his Pilegesh went away from him. So how did she go away from him? So Rabbi Yasser, or Rabbi Yasser said, Omar Zvuv Motzolah. He found a fly in his food, and that got him very, very angry at his wife, and he sent her away. Rabbi Yonason disagreed. Rabbi Yonason, Omar Nima Motzolah. He found a hair. We'll have two interpretations of what this hair was in a moment, so just understand for right now that he had a hair. No, so we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yasser, Rabbi Yonason. Now, listen to this. Ashechei Rav Yasser li Eliyahu HaNavi. He goes and meets up with Eliyahu HaNavi. So obviously, anybody who has Gilui Eliyahu is certainly a great person. But listen to this story. He meets up with Eliyahu HaNavi and he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, Amalei Mai Ko'ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is God doing right now? And listen to this answer. Amalei, Eliyahu HaNavi tells Rav Yasser, Osik B'Pilegesh B'Giva. He's discussing the mice of the Pilegesh Begiva, because you guys were discussing it, and anytime Torah is learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was part of the discussion. So he's also discussing the Pilegesh Begiva. And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? And listen what Eliyahu says. Eliyahu tells Rav Yasser. He says, my son Ev Yasser bini kachu omer. He says, it was because of the Zvuv. And Yonasan bini, my son Rav Yonasan, kachu omer. He says, it's because of a hair. Now Rav Yasser says to Eliyahu, what? Amalei,
Chas v'shalom, umiyoko sveiko kamishmaya? How could it possibly be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what happened? Right? Isn't it true that there's something that happened? That is a machlokas. Rav Yosef and Yonasan. One is right, one is wrong. How could it be a sofe kamishmaya? Kamishmaya. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, kaviyochol, doesn't know what went on. And he says, well, if Yosef says this, Yochanan says, Yonasan says this, no, it's a machlokas. So Amalei Eliyahu tells him, no, both of you are right. Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chayim. Both of you are right. In fact, originally, Hein Zvuv Motzah, he originally found a fly in his food. He wasn't as a machbit. Look, he wasn't happy, but that wouldn't have been enough to send her away. Then, Nima Motzah, then he found the hair. We'll see in a moment what the hair is talking about. Ah, the hikbit. And now he got very mad. And now he sent away because of both stories. The hair alone might not have done it, but the hair combined with the Zvuv story, that made him send her away. And that's what it means, that she left him. And that's the whole start of the story of the Pilegish Begiva. Now, what exactly was the machlokas between Rav Yosar and Rav Yonasan? So on Rav Yehuda, we have two versions over here. Rav Yehuda says, Zvuv Bikara, the Zvuv, the fly, was in the food, the Nima Ba'osa Makam, and the hair was in her pubic area. And as Rashi points out, they had a custom in those days that they would go and shave off their pubic hair in order not to chas v'shalom cause the husband to become a kush shavcha. As Rashi says, the darkon hayo lahosir es haseyar. They would go and remove their pubic hair, the lowly sokin bo'ala, not to cause potential damage to the person that they have relations with, because chas v'shalom, his hair could the hair could get caught on his gid and cause him to become a kush shavcha. And because he saw that this was a danger, she didn't do the custom of the women and go and shave off her pubic hair. So hikbit alav, that's why he got very mad at her, ubarach b'nei masel, and she ran away because she was scared of him. That's the maisa. So the fly didn't do it, but it was the hair that was a sakana that got him upset. Zvuv miyisusa, the zvuv was disgusting, but he was willing to put up with that. The Nima Sakanta. And then the hair, that was dangerous to him. That's why he got very upset with that. And that's why she ran away, being scared of him. Alternatively, Ika di Amre, Idi Vidi Bikara. No, both the fly and the hair were in the food. However, Zvuv Unsa, a fly, you can't stop the flies from coming in there. As opposed to Vinima Pshiusa, the hair is, she wasn't careful. She was Poshea, right? Should have worn a hairnet. She should have worn some protective wear that the hair shouldn't fall into the food. In any event, this story shows you that Rav Yosar was an unbelievably great person, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about his son, Rav Yosar, learning Torah. So that's Abaye's response to Rav Yosar. Don't be concerned about Rav Yosar. He's a great person. He's certainly able to rely upon. We learned a lot of things from this. Omer Rechista, La'olam al-yatil odom ema yisera b'soch beso. Because this Pilegish was scared of her husband, she ran away. And that started the whole process of the Pilegish. We give a terrible, terrible tragedy story in which she was killed. And terrible, terrible tragedy happened in Klal Yisrael, a huge civil war with hundreds of thousands of casualties. So, La'olam al yatil odom ema yiser b'soch beso. Don't cause the people in your house to be excessively afraid of you. Shari Pilegish Begiva, this maisa with the Pilegish Begiva, her husband had gotten her scared. He had made her too much fearful of him, and therefore she ran away. And that caused Vipilo Kama Revoas Yisrael. Many tens of thousands of people died in Klal Yisrael. That's what Rav Chisda tells us. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us further. If you go and cause this excessive fear in your house to exist, so then, sofu, in the end, you know what the end result would be? Bali de Sholosh Averos. It'll be over three great Averos. Number one, Gilui Arayis. Number two, Shrichas Damim. You'll be over immoral things. That's what happened with the Pilegish Begiva. Shrichas Damim, there'll be tremendous bloodshed. And there'll be Chilul Shabbos. There'll be a terrible desecration of Shabbos as well. Rashi explains over here in Dibur HaMaskel, Gilui Arayis. So he says, Kishamagiyah Zman Tfilasa. If you cause people in your house to be terribly afraid of you, so then, you know what's going to happen when it's time for the wife to go to the mikvah and the Eis Tzina, it's very cold outside and she doesn't want to go into the cold river. V'hi yireya lomar lo tovalti. She's going to be terrified to tell her husband, I didn't go to the mikvah. You know what's going to happen? U'misham shaso nida. She'll say I went to the mikvah because she's terrified her husband won't understand that it's freezing cold and she has to go to this ice cold lake and she just can't do it. And therefore, she's going to say she went. And therefore, because of this excessive fear of her husband, it's going to be Gilui Arayis. It's going to be, he's having relations with Anita.
What's a shrichus damim? Rashi tells us, ki hacha, exactly our case, not to be legish b'giva, or pa'amim, sheborachas mipanav, she's going to be so scared of him, she runs away from him, v'nofelis, biachas apsachim, she's going to fall. Oh, begesher, or she's going to fall off, others have the gears over here, migesher, and she'll fall and kill herself by accident. And what's the third thing? Michilu Shabbos, that's the girsa that we have. Tosus brings down a different girsa from Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's chilul shame. It's a chilul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a chilul Hashem. In any event, we have the girsa of Michilu Shabbos. So pa'amim shemadlekes ner o mivasheles mishachashecha. Sometimes the woman forgot to go cook or forgot to turn on a light, and she's going to be terrified. Oh, my husband's going to home and there's nothing ready. And mipneim also because of this fear of her husband, and she's going to go light on Shabbos or cook on Shabbos. Who any day? He's not going to know this. So if there's too much fear in the house, so then it's going to lead to chas v'shalom, all these problems, gilu arayis, shuchas damim, and chilul Shabbos. As I pointed out, Menu Hananu's girsa is a chilul Hashem will occur. Now, Tosfos asks an interesting question. In Dibra Maso Nima Matzola, he says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Jewish women, they didn't have this problem. Ein lam levnos Yisrael seyar lo beis ha-shechi, lo beis ha-erva. That the Jewish women at that time didn't have these problems with both axillary hair or pubic hair. So what happened that this woman should have it, this pilegesh? So Tosfos points out that she was at the Abbas Yafas Toar, Haisa. As the Gemara there says, regards to Tamar, Avshalom's sister, they were both Yafas Toar children, and therefore they did have this problem with the pubic hair. Gemara Tirzah tells us another story. Now we can understand that which it says in the Mishnayis and Bamev Adlikin in the second parak of Shabbos. There are three things that a person should regularly say in his house every Erev Shabbos right before it becomes Shabbos. He should say, Isartem, did you take off Trumas and Maisos in the proper way you're supposed to? Peirosh Nechel Amochar, so we'll have fruits to eat tomorrow, Rashi says. Eravtem. Now the Rashi over here tells us this is Eru Chatzeris. Elsewhere in the Morning Shabbos, Rashi says both Eru Chatzeris and Eru Tchumim, and Tosus over here points out that that's a better girsa, that it should be not Eru Chatzeris, but Eru Tchumim. In any event, did you do the proper setup of the Eruvim? And then, once this was both done, so then, now it's time, Hadlika was an air, go light all the candles that we'll need for Shabbos, because you can't obviously light them on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah there tells us, Tzarech, and we turn to Vavam and Aleph, a person, when he says this, he should go and say this, Lememrinu, so you should say this in a very calm, quiet type of a tone. Why? So nobody should be afraid of him and do things that they wouldn't be allowed to do because of fear of him. So we should say these things. Isartem, iravtem, hadliku esaner. Not isartem, did you do this? Iravtem, did you do that? Hadliku esaner. Because that's going to cause all the problems that we just said, the gilui arayis, the shrichas damim, and either the chilul Shabbos or the chilul Hashem. Amar Vashi, Vashi said, Anolo Shmili Ha the Rabba Bar Bachana. I never heard this statement from Rabba Bar Bachana. However, Vikyam Tia Misvara. But I myself did this on my own because it makes very good sense. A person should speak quietly and with nachas in his house so people will listen to him. Amar Rabbi said, Liolam Ayatel Adam Ema Yaser Besoch Beso. Rabbi Yavo also said, don't cause excessive fear in your house because Shari Adam Godol Hitel Ema Yaser Besoch Beso. One time, a great person who the Gemara says is Rav Chanina ben Gamliel caused a little bit of excessive fear in his house, and the hechilu davar gadol, and they gave him to eat davar gadol, which the Gemara will say in a moment means eva min hachai. So, who is this person? Umanu Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So, Rabbi Yavo tells us that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel had instilled, unfortunately, a little bit too much fear in the people in his household. And one time Rashi tells us that they lost the regular food. They had a shechted animal, and they lost a leg from the animal and one of the ivarim. And because they were so terrified of him, so the avodim cut off a leg from a living animal, and they view Tata of Shlo Yavit, and they brought it in its place. So he would think, oh yeah, we shechted this animal, it has four legs, and we're going to eat now. So they did this in order because they were terrified of him. If they told him they lost the leg, they were afraid he would get so mad at them, so therefore they even gave him Avim and Achai to eat. That's the terrible thing that happened. The more questions is, really? They gave him Avim and Achai to eat? Do we really think they gave him to eat? After all, we have a famous rule, Hashto behemtim shel tzadikim, enakosh rochu bivi takol ayadam, tzadikim atzvo lo kol shekein. We have the famous story of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, found in a number of places. Again, I mentioned this when we were doing Sota, we just mentioned this, the same idea, It was in the Yerushalmi that the Daf Yomi Yerushalmi was doing. So we have many stories of great Pinchas ben Yair, and many of them include, but his animals wouldn't even go and eat something that was also to them. So his animals wouldn't eat tevel. Technically, an animal is allowed to eat tevel, but he was so great, and he was so medaktik, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't even let his animals have food go into their mouth. And how could you possibly suggest that Rabbi Chanina ben Galil ate Eva Menachai? If the animal of the donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair didn't eat something that wasn't Me'usar, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow that to happen to a tzaddik. He's certainly not going to allow Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel to go and eat Eva min HaChai. So the Gemara says, you're 100% right. Ela bikshu l'achilu davar gadol. They tried to go and give him this Eva min HaChai, but something prevented them from doing so. It didn't happen. And what was this davar gadol? I already mentioned, Ma'aniyu Eva min HaChai, as we pointed out. And we just conclude, the Tosfos is telling us another interesting din or two over here. He brings down several cases where it seems that somebody did in fact go and eat something that's aser. So for example, he brings down that Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba once ate before Havdalah, and he also brings down another situation where somebody tasted something on Yom Kippur. So those are food errors. How did those occur? So he points out there's a difference between eating something that is aser to eat versus eating something that is mutter to eat at an aser time. And that would explain why in those situations they weren't saved. But in general, for something that a tzaddik would end up eating something, because eating it gets inside your body, it's such a terrible thing, it ruins the guf. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special protection to the great tzaddikim that even the behemoth of tzaddikim won't eat, certainly the tzaddik himself won't eat something that is aser to eat. With this, we conclude today's share.